So nitrogen use efficiency is just part of a bigger picture that we need to look at, and it does include pests and other nutrients and water and economics. Lots of things go into that single number that we report.
This is the Yara Crop Nutrition Podcast. Yara is the global leader in crop nutrition knowledge and the leading producer of quality fertilizer products. The podcast is intended to facilitate the transfer of knowledge for farmers and crop advisors, improving farm profitability and environmental sustainability. With Yara, knowledge grows.
Hey, thanks for joining another edition of the Yara Crop Nutrition Podcast. I am here with Dr. Rob Mickelson, who's a director of agronomic services here at Yara North America. And we're going to talk about nitrogen. One of the most important nutrients that we put on our crop. And we sometimes throw around the term nitrogen use efficiency. And we're going to unpack that a little bit and try to understand it, understand what those words even mean, and then what it means for a farmer to be efficient with their nitrogen. Rob, thanks for joining us. Tell us a little bit about that phrase, nitrogen use efficiency. How is that defined?
Well, Scott, that's often in the news now about how to get more value out of everything, really. And we hear about water efficiency, nutrient efficiency, and nitrogen efficiency is just one more aspect of that. So nitrogen efficiency is getting the maximum amount of produce, whether that's nuts or strawberries or corn, for the amount of nitrogen fertilizer applied. So it's basically that ratio of outputs in the harvest and inputs of nitrogen that's going into the field. Now, that sounds like a simple thing, that ratio, but we can measure what's coming off the field pretty easily. It's how many truckloads or how many tons or pounds or boxes, but the amount of nitrogen applied, the amount of nitrogen available to the plant, can be pretty tricky to measure. The fertilizer is easy. We're putting on so many pounds of nitrogen per acre. But then in many places, we have nitrogen coming in the irrigation water. And that can be significant. There could be nitrogen coming from last year's cover crops. Some farmers are using manure. So all of those sources of nitrogen need to be combined to look at that ratio of output and input.
Why is this even important? I mean, I would say more nitrogen, the better, right? So if I get a big crop putting on X number of pounds of nitrogen, why don't I put on X plus pounds of nitrogen this year and just get more yield? Why is it important to know that ratio or maximize that efficiency ratio?
Well, in the good old days, which weren't so good, but and maybe not that old, people didn't worry so much about that nitrogen use efficiency. They were looking to maximize their production often. Now we realize that using too much nitrogen or using the wrong quantity of nitrogen in the production system results in some major economic problems, because fertilizer is often one of the most expensive inputs that farmers put on their field. So if you're putting on fertilizer and you're not getting an economic return, you're wasting your money. So that gets farmers' attention. And then there's the environmental issues. And that has become a real hot topic the last decade or so. In California, we're concerned about nitrate in the groundwater, where excess nitrate that's not taken up by the plant washes down to the aquifers. It's not just a California issue. Those things are all over the country. There's places in Washington State where they're worried about excess nitrate and nitrogen in the water. If you're living in the Midwest in the Corn Belt, you hear a lot about the Mississippi River in the dead zone or the hypoxic zone in the Gulf of Mexico. This occurs in the Bay of Manila in the Philippines. And so all around the world, there's examples of what can go wrong if the nitrogen isn't managed properly. So looking at nitrogen use efficiency is one way to dial in or to optimize that a little bit better. There's some other benefits of maximizing nitrogen use efficiency, because excess nitrogen usually causes problems in crop quality. Maybe more diseases, it may not store as well, may not ship as well. Lots of reasons why we don't want more nitrogen in the soil than the plant really needs.
So ideally, if I'm understanding you, we only want to apply the amount of nitrogen that the plant actually requires or can take up, so that all of it, every bit of nitrogen, whether there's nitrogen on the cover crop or the manure or the mineral fertilizer you put down, all of that is being used by the plant.
In theory, that's right, Scott. Every pound you put on is taken up by the plant. A couple problems with that, though, is that this is a biological system, and biological systems are leaky.
Ah.
And nitrogen is one of those things that leaks out of the system. We put nitrogen on in the soil, and some of it gets taken up by the microbes. We hear a lot about building soil organic matter or sequestering carbon in the soil. Carbon doesn't just form by itself. It takes nitrogen to build that soil organic matter. So for every ton of organic matter that we store in the soil, that's going to take between 100 and 200 pounds of nitrogen to go with it. That's nitrogen that's not taken off by the crop. So this gets pretty complicated, and the microbes are taking up nitrogen. They're releasing nitrogen. It's a really dynamic system that is really difficult and challenging to manage.
So that actually poses a very interesting question, Rob, if I understand you right. If, let's say, our goal is to be 90% or better in our nitrogen use efficiency, but I have really healthy soils, a healthy microbiome that is using a lot of that nitrogen to make carbon, and it's not being taken up or taken off the field or measurable, I could actually have a lower nitrogen use efficiency when in reality, it is all being used and not being leached into the groundwater. Is that true?
That's right. Well, building organic matter, whether it's in living tissue or stable organic matter, that is all a repository for nitrogen in the soil. Oh. Luckily, that changes slowly. It may be 10 or 20 pounds of nitrogen per year. It's not going to be hundreds of pounds of nitrogen in most cases. And so when we talk about this recovery issue, there's a concept that's a little bit hard to understand at first. If we're trying to maximize nitrogen use efficiency, that occurs when we put the first pound of nitrogen in the field. If you put 1 pound on, those crops are just going to soak that up, those nitrogen-starving crops. Uh-huh. And you can say, wow, I've got 100% nitrogen recovery. I'm doing such a great job. So if your objective in farming is to maximize nitrogen use efficiency, you would use 1, 2, maybe 10 pounds of nitrogen per acre. But that's not the goal of farmers, is to maximize nitrogen use efficiency. What they want to do is optimize the nitrogen use efficiency. How can we use nitrogen as effectively as possible to get the yield that we expect? Ah. So it's not maximizing, it's optimizing.
I see. And there's a lot of moving parts there too as well. I mean, I've learned from you and from Dr. Steve Petrie, your predecessor, that the nitrogen use or optimization can be improved or reduced by other nutrients that you're putting on, balanced nutrients that you're putting on, or the irrigation water. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. You've nailed it on those two points. If you put nitrogen on a soil that's low in phosphorus, maybe potassium, calcium, or the pH is too low, those roots are not going to be able to take up the nitrogen. You might be managing the nitrogen properly, but it's the whole system that has to be done. Likewise, if you put on the right amount of nitrogen, but you over-irrigate and you flush that nitrogen out of the soil, or perhaps this year we've had drought in many parts of United States, if you, at the beginning of the season, put on the right amount of nitrogen and manage it just right, but there's no rainfall or no irrigation, that nitrogen is still sitting in the soil and you have very little yield to show for it. So nitrogen use efficiency is just part of a bigger picture that we need to look at. And it does include pests and other nutrients and water and economics. Lots of things go into that single number that we report.
I want to ask one little parenthetical question that you just cued in my head. If there is a drought and we apply the nitrogen, but it doesn't get solubilized, and so it's not taken up by the plant or used by the microbiome, it's not producing any carbon, and it's not doing anything, is it still available there next year for use, so it kind of just banks it?
Well, that nitrogen will stay in the soil, but the problem comes when you have rains in the off season. So if you have a cover crop that you could plant, could be a grass cover crop, could even be a legume, that could take up that residual fertilizer that's there in the soil that's remaining after you've harvested a very poor crop, that would soak up or scavenge that fertilizer nitrogen. That cover crop would then be killed in the spring. And then as that breaks down, that would release that nitrogen from the previous year's fertilizer. So if you do nothing, though, and just leave that nitrogen in the soil, it's going to wash out in the winter rains.
Got it. Got it. Well, that's another great example of why cover crops are a good action plan. I like that. You know, one of the other things as you were talking, I was thinking about our podcast that we did with Dr. Carl Wyant and talking about healthy soils. And if you have healthy soils, that means you're going to have a much healthier root zone, more roots, more fibers, fibrous roots in the soil, and it's going to uptake more nitrogen. There's so many interactive plays here with the nitrogen use efficiency.
Well, I think you identified some of those things, Scott, that you really have to understand your soil and your cropping system well. There's not a universal recipe that every farmer can follow to maximize or to optimize their nitrogen use efficiency. So that's this concept of the four R's that was developed probably a dozen years ago of putting on the right source of nitrogen, the right time, and the place, and the rate. When you can think about integrating all of those four factors, you really make a lot of progress towards optimizing that nitrogen use.
So I sometimes like to put my farm hat on and pretend I'm a farmer and kind of look at it from that point of view. So I'm out there, I'm a grower, and I have X number of acres. And how do I start? How do I know what my current nitrogen use efficiency is?
Well, that's something that I think every farmer should be keeping track of. It's not hard to get a general idea. You don't have to measure everything, but every farmer knows how much fertilizer they applied, and they know what their yields are. And there are tables or book values that you can look up. If you're growing soybeans, or if you're growing canola, if you're growing lettuce, you can get an estimate of how many pounds of nitrogen are in a ton or a bushel or a box of produce. And so from that, you can say this many tons of corn has this much nitrogen, and I applied this much fertilizer. Here's my nitrogen use efficiency. If you want to get a little more detailed, then you can say, well, what was in the irrigation water? What was in the manure? What was in the cover crop? But as a starting point, everyone should be looking at that ratio of fertilizer and harvest. And really, I think you should track that at least over a 3-year period and say, am I making progress, or am I going backwards, or am I staying the same? And if you're not implementing some practices that are helping you make progress, then I think you need to take a close look at what you're doing and maybe ask for some help from someone. Because I'm confident everyone can make some headway in managing their nitrogen more effectively.
Is there a threshold? I mean, let's say I do the calculation. I know how much in last year, how much nitrogen I put down, and I know what my yield was, and I do the calculation and it gives me a number. How do I know whether that number is good, not good, or maybe I'm a super farmer?
Well, before you get into a competition with someone else, I think you should see, am I making progress or not? Am I getting better?
Ah, good point.
And then you're making progress, the trajectory is right. Then you can start to compare yourself with other farmers. And this nitrogen efficiency depends so much on the crop that you're using and the cropping system. For small grains such as wheat and barley, often we have a nitrogen recovery of maybe 30%. And so 1/3 of the nitrogen fertilizer that you apply is actually harvested in the grain. So where's the other 2/3? Well, it takes some nitrogen to grow the leaves, to grow the stems, to grow the roots. And that is not harvested from the field. So that doesn't, nitrogen efficiency doesn't always account for all the nitrogen that's recovered by the plant. So for some of the grain crops, you know, maybe 1/3 or 50% of that efficiency is what we're shooting for. And that's the best that a good farmer can get. For some other crops, Probably the highest nitrogen recovery is from turf, mm-hmm. from grass. When you apply the right amount of nitrogen fertilizer on grass, there are so many roots in that top 6 to 12 inches that it scavenges up every nitrate or ammonia molecule that's there in the soil. So turf, we expect to get 90% or more of the nitrogen that we applied into the plant. Mm-hmm. Plus all of it's going into vegetation pretty much. So there's not that leaf and grain partitioning. Another one that can be very high is almonds, especially on a mature almond tree where it's not producing a lot of new wood. The wood mm-hmm. is established. You're mostly growing leaves and nuts. And estimates from the University of California show that that can be 70, 80, 90% even fertilizer recovery by almonds. That's not typical, but in a perfectly managed system, we can get that high.
Where do I find those numbers, those threshold numbers? I assume there's some university pages that have those to kind of give me an idea.
I'm afraid most of those are in academic publications, Scott. There's not a handy chart to say what should I expect. But
talk to your advisor. I bet you they know. They would know, wouldn't they?
They would know how you compare with your neighbors, at least, for how much fertilizer you're using and how much yield you're getting. This measurement of inputs and outputs has become politically important as well because of these nitrate issues in the groundwater of California. Mm-hmm. The state water boards are now requiring every farmer to submit this data to them every year for every field. So the state is interested in keeping track of, are farmers making progress? Are they getting better? Or is it stagnating or getting worse? And I think they're looking for outliers as well. They don't have a specific target that they're holding everyone to, but if someone is only harvesting half as much nitrogen from a ton of walnuts than someone else, then that farmer either is having a management problem or they had some special event that happened that year that sort of threw them off. That could have been a drought or a flood or an insect problem or something else that fouled them up for the single year, but sort of highlights the need to for a little discussion with them to see if they can do better next year.
If you were called out to a field where someone was either stagnating or, you know, going backwards, what are some strategies to improve their efficiency numbers?
I would go back to the four R's. Mm-hmm. I'd say, Farmer Scott, mm-hmm. how much nitrogen are you putting on? But that's not enough to know because you might not be putting it on at the right time. Mm-hmm. Are you splitting it? Or are you putting it on just when the plants need it? Or are you doing it when it's convenient for you or when fertilizer mm-hmm. prices are low? And then are you putting it in the right place so the roots can get it? Is it volatilizing? You may be putting urea on the soil, but half of it might be going off as gas. So that would be the right source as well. And that's something that I spend some time with, looking at the benefits of using nitrate nutrition and ammonium nutrition. Some plants have a very strong preference for nitrate. Many of those in the called the Solanaceae family, or those are potatoes and tomatoes, peppers, have a strong preference for nitrate. Some of the Rosacea families, the tree crops, many of the tree fruits, including almonds, have a strong preference for nitrate again. So I'd ask you about the right source of nitrogen. So in those conversations, just those simple four R's, I think we could make a lot of headway. And then finally, I'd ask you about your water management, because you can do the four R's right and throw it all out with bad water management.
It goes back to a quote of a great farm manager that I met a few years ago, and he said, "I schedule my irrigation so I don't mess up my fertility program."
A wise manager.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing. Rob, thank you so much for helping us understand nitrogen use efficiency versus optimization, why it's important, why we should be keeping track of it, and making sure that the trend line is going in the right direction. I think next podcast that we do, we're going to talk about that interdependence of irrigation and fertility, and how you can really mess up your fertility program by mismanaging your irrigation, especially as we are, you know, at the tail end of the season with a drought, with forecasts of us probably continuing in the drought. We're crossing our fingers and doing some dances to see if we can get some fall rains and snow in the mountains. But I think that we're gonna still continue, even if we have a good snow year. We're gonna continue to struggle with the right amount of irrigation out there. So, thank you so much. If you have any questions, you want to learn more about nitrogen use efficiency and how to improve yours, go to your local agronomist and ask them. We have Yara sales agronomists. They're out in the field that would love to come talk to you also. And if you have any other questions, you can go to our podcast page. Just go to Google and type in Yara podcast. You can go to our podcast page and you can leave a comment there anonymously. So thank you very much, Rob. We hope this grew your knowledge, and we look forward to having another discussion next week.
Okay, we'll be back again. Thank you, Scott.
You've been listening to the Yara Crop Nutrition Podcast. For more information about our company, please visit us at www.yara.com or yara.us, or for Canada, yaracanada.ca.